It's a very unique bond that I think we have with our fans. And as a player, you feel bad when you let them down. They bleed purple just like we do. And I think the players understand that. I think they recognize that. And I think that's what keeps them going.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Skol Stories. I'm your host, Mike Wapshaw, inside TCO Studios at Winter Park with a really cool show coming up for you tonight. It's going to feature legendary former linebacker and current Vikings personnel guru Scott Studwell. He is our guest on tonight's show. We're excited to bring you our interview with him. It's actually so good and so long, it's a two-part interview. Two consecutive Skol Stories episodes with Scott Studwell, the first one tonight. But first, a word on your current Minnesota Vikings. They were winners on Thanksgiving Day, 30-23 over the Detroit Lions. They moved to 9-2, a three-game lead in the NFC North with five games to play, the next one being at the Atlanta Falcons. That game is on Sunday, kickoff, noon Central Time. You can hear the game, of course, on the Vikings Radio Network. Now, let's get to the show tonight. It's Scott Studwell time. Such a great topic in Vikings history, it took two of us to tackle the issue. The second one, our very own Craig Peters at the Vikings Entertainment Network, who is the lead dog on all of our written content, stories on the website, publications, and much more. Craig and I had a moment to sit down with Scott and chat with him about a lot of different topics. And Craig, it was super interesting to get a few minutes of Scott's in what is a very busy time on his calendar.
Oh yeah, it was fantastic. And I mean, his perspective is so great from the time he came in as a player in 77, working his way up. You know, we had some great linebackers and defenders that he could learn from right away. And he really talked about that. It was kind of fun to visualize him back in the day. And then he became such a leader on this, the heart and soul of a defense a lot of times that and was accompanied by other talented guys too.
Yeah, and over the course of the next 2 weeks on Skol Stories, you know, fans and listeners are going to hear about Scott transitioning from his great playing career that would have landed him in the Ring of Honor as a player, transitioning into the role as a scout for the Minnesota Vikings and now being in the front office. That part's going to come, the scouting part is going to come next week. This episode tonight is really going to focus on his time as a player and his life at Winter Park, since we're going to be leaving Winter Park very soon, and some more of the early part of his career. One or two things that you took from the conversation that you think fans will find noteworthy tonight.
I thought it was great the way that he talked so much about the influence of Jeff Seaman and how much benefit it was to come into an established defense and really work his way up. A ninth round pick. I mean, the ninth round isn't even part of the draft now. Yeah. But that also shed light to kind of his appreciation for guys that work for the results that they get.
Yeah. And Scott likened his career arc to one of a current member of the Minnesota Vikings. So to hear that, stay tuned. You will hear Scott compare himself to someone who's currently playing for the Vikings. But last note before we get into the conversation with Scott, Craig, the desk at which Scott sits here at Winter Park, he has a cool story about that.
Oh, that's fantastic. He tapped on it a couple times. I mean, solid wood, nothing fake about it. Yeah. It's got scars and scratches and dents, and it goes all the way back to Jerry Reichow.
Right.
Which it's amazing because Reichow transitioned from highly esteemed player to a legendary scout.
Skol Stories producer Nate Vaughn has so much good stuff. He wants us to stop talking and throw it to the Studwell interview. So we're going to do that right now.
Okay.
Here's Scott Studwell.
All right.
All right.
So you've been at this for a long time.
Yeah.
When you think about when you were drafted and you think about what it's like now, what are some of the biggest changes?
Well, you know, I mean, just the industry as a whole has changed dramatically. You know, I mean, when I came up here in 1977, you know, we stayed at the old Holiday Inn over by the old Met, and everybody bussed down to Mankato the next day, and we were there for almost 7 weeks, and you know, We didn't have a facility. You know, the football office was over on France Avenue. We had to practice at the old Midway Stadium in St. Paul until the Twins got out of the old Met. And it was a little simpler time then. It was probably a simpler game. The game has evolved tremendously. The business has evolved unbelievably, and the players have evolved. You know, it's a lot more flash today than it used to be. It was a lot simpler back in the day, but it's still a great game. It's the business side of it is unbelievable. The amount of money that the owners are making and the players are making, and it's just evolved tremendously. It's just been fun to be a part of it for, you know, 41 years.
I think for people who appreciate you and know you, you know, they associate you with your style and your persona with how it used to be. The black and blue, the blue collar, the old school and all that. But here you are still succeeding and thriving and helping the organization in the new school time. So how have you kept your passion for it despite all of the changes that have happened?
Well, you know, I think it's and I've said this numerous times, and there's you know, this has always been a labor of love for me. I mean, it's from the minute I got here and made the team as a rookie and until today. I mean, it's I couldn't see myself doing anything else. I've been so lucky to have played here and stayed here and come back to work here and be a part of you know, a lot of great memories. And certainly a lot of bad memories as well. But I mean, I've been very fortunate. You know, I'm so appreciative to everybody that I've been with, that I've worked with, that have mentored me, that have coached me, that have taught me, that, you know, just I've been very lucky. I mean, and I don't know why I was here picked to do this job, or why I was here for 41 years, or whatever the case may be. But, you know, I thank my lucky stars that I have been.
When did you kind of take on the Viking persona and that kind of become intertwined with your identity?
You know, I mean, I think the thing that was really beneficial for me is coming in here as a young player and being around the icons of not only the league, but for this organization, you know, to play with Fran Tarkenton and Jim Marshall and Alan Page and Mick Tinglehoff and Wally Hilgenberg and Jeff Seaman. And I mean, Paul Krause, and the list goes on and on. If I left somebody out, I apologize. But, you know, I mean, that's, you know, there's, how many Hall of Famers in that group? Four or five Hall of Famers, and obviously get coached by Bud and Bernsey, and that stuff, it rubs off on you. And I learned at a very young age how important this job is, and how important, you know, there's obviously life outside of football, but it was always kind of somewhat ingrained in my personality, and even more so once I got here. And, you know, I mean, to get paid to play a game that you love playing is not many people get that opportunity. So being around here as long as I've been around here, it rubbed off on me, and it became a part of who I am, and hopefully I can pass that on to the next generation.
When you're a current player or coach, you know, you're very focused on what is right in front of you. So the next game, and I think you get taught and you get good at ignoring the pomp and circumstance and media and fans. But when you've been here for more than three or four decades, you know, you're able to kind of take all that in, and you appreciate the fans and you embrace that probably. And you have relationships with people who cover the team. So talk about that part of it for you, what you think about Vikings fans and the way they cheer for the team and what they've been through with the team and kind of how they're involved with the Viking identity.
You know, they're very unique from a standpoint of to be as supportive as they have been. And there's been a lot of success here. I mean, you know, regardless of the fact that you haven't won a championship and you haven't brought that big trophy home yet, but you've been there and you've been close and you've put a lot of very good product on the field and you've given them a lot of things to cheer about. So, you know, there used to be a very close intimacy with the fans and the players when I first started playing, because you know, at the old Met, it was a different era, and you know, we'd spend 2 hours outside in the parking lot with mingling with the fans after the game. So it was a little different situation back then, but it's just, you know, they've suffered as well as they've suffered along with us. They've cheered along with us. They keep coming back because they love this organization and they love this football team, and they want to see this championship, and everybody does, obviously. But they've been tremendous, and as a player, you feel bad when you let them down, and because they don't put the sweat in, but they put the heart and soul into it. So it's you know, they bleed purple just like we do, and so it's a very unique bond that I think we have with our fans, and they're the ones that pay the check. You know, and so if you let them down, you not only do you let yourself down, you let your teammates down, but you're letting your fans down as well. So, and I think the players understand that. I think they recognize that, and I think that's what keeps them going.
All right, great stuff from Scott Studwell, and we have more coming up after this break. But before we go, a programming note: join host Mike Mussman along with Jeremiah Searles at JJ's Clubhouse in Golden Valley on Thursday at 5:30 p.m. for a live broadcast of Vikings Country. You could win some great prizes, including tickets in the Miller Lite Lounge at U.S. Bank Stadium. Visit vikings.com/vikingscountry for more info and a full schedule. And for more from Scott Studwell, stay tuned. Hey everyone, welcome back. It's Wobby. Skol Stories is happening. Before we get back to our conversation with Scott Studwell, be the first to know breaking Vikings news, access video on demand, and get ticket alerts all on your phone with the Minnesota Vikings app. Download today in the App Store and Google Play. Also, do you know someone with a heart of a Viking who deserves to go to Super Bowl 52? Share their story and help us honor the most deserving fans in our community with a pair of tickets to Super Bowl 52. Nominate fans at vikings.com/heartofaviking or use the hashtag #heartofaviking on social media. All right, let's get back to work. You're going to hear from Scott Studwell right now.
Pete Bursich, before calling the game, was telling me that, you know, Greg Minuski was the guy when Pete was a rookie. He was like, you know, Greg made my life hell. Like, he was really tough on me, and he sort of, you know, showed me the ropes and was that guy who was always there giving me a hard time, but was doing it kind of taking me under his wing in that type of way. Was there anyone like that for you when you started, or were you like that to anyone else toward the end of your career? Do you remember anything about that?
Well, you know, I like I said, when I first got here, you know, they had a veteran linebacking core. You know, Matt Blair was here, and Fred McNeil and Jeff Seaman and Wally Hilgenberg. And I learned a ton from Jeff. Jeff was a mentor. He was a teacher for me. He was he was a great player, a great, even better person. And Wally was kind of the same way, but in a different way. Wally was kind of like Minuski was to Pete. he made life a little harder on me than Jeff did. But I mean, those were guys that I could look up to and that I could talk to and that I had good relationships with. And so, you know, I guess from that standpoint, those would have been the two guys, and obviously Matt as well. But, you know, and then I hopefully was able to help players like Ray Berry and Mark Dusbabic and, you know, some of the younger guys, Mike Merriweather and the guys that I played with, you know, just because of my experience and hopefully pass some of that same stuff down to them to make their lives a little easier between the lines.
24 tackles in one game. That what is that like during the game? What is that like the next day?
Well, I probably feel them more today than I did back then. But it's, you know, I mean, I don't know. It was just that's what we did. I mean, that's what I got paid to do. I mean, it was, you know, it wasn't ever a goal. It wasn't ever a, you know, I wasn't into breaking records. I wasn't into setting records. I wasn't into that. It was all about winning the game. But it doesn't matter how you win it. It just, what matters is that you win it. And, you know, it's not about the Pro Bowls and the All Pros, and it's about winning, and it's about getting in the playoffs, and it's about having a shot at the Super Bowl. So, you know, I mean, it's, yeah, there's better days than good days and bad days, and you know, fortunately for me, back when I was playing, people ran the ball a lot more than they do today. So, yeah. You know, so I mean, it's those opportunities presented themselves a lot more than they do today. So, now I couldn't tackle Barry Sanders 24 times in a game, but
yeah. Well, who were you tackling that day?
I can't remember. Okay.
It was the Lions.
That was a long time.
It was the Lions.
Yeah, it was
okay.
The Lions. Yeah.
All right. So 1985.
Well, I have to think. I mean, I know that you're probably, you know, a perfectionist, and you held yourself to a high standard. But like, you played. You had so many good games. I mean, do you remember coaches just ripping into you the day after games? Or were you like the guy on the team that never made any errors? Like, I think Harrison Smith right now like never makes any mistakes, but I'm sure Zim finds things, you know, to point out to him. Like, were there coaches that were hard on you, or do you remember just skating through Mondays after games, you know, having a great grade for your performance?
You know, I don't. You know, I know there were games, some games that I'd like a do over.
Yeah.
That and typically, you know, when you have a game like that, or you have it's really more from a, rather than physically making mistakes, it's probably more from a mental preparation, an emotional preparation. For some reason, you didn't prepare yourself mentally for the game, and you know, I mean, I would like to think that I was as hard on myself than any coach could be. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and I prided myself on not making mental mistakes, and you know, I always knew that I'm going to get beat physically at times, but you know, so and that if any time I would get criticized or any time I did make mistakes, you have to own it, because if you don't own it, you're not going to get any better. And so, you know, I accepted it. I deserved it. And when I got those kind of corrections, and I got those, and there were times that, you know, some people had to help me out, trying to keep me on the right path, and you know, kind of keep me going. But it's I mean, that's all part of it.
It's kind of hard to imagine after watching some video clips, but I read that you were a little bit undersized going into high school, I believe, and then you had a couple positions at Illinois before really settling in at linebacker. Ninth round pick. The ninth round isn't even part of the draft now. So how does that push you in the efforts to mine the late round talent and identify and realize either late rounders or UDFAs that can really play this game at this level?
Well, you know, I think it's given me an appreciation for maybe being overlooked a little bit. But that, you know, I mean, it is what it is. And I tell these players all the time that regardless of whether you're a first-round pick or you're a priority free agent or you're a low-level free agent, as long as you get your foot in the door and you go to camp, you got a chance. Mm-hmm. And, you know, don't start counting and don't look at the numbers and don't look, you know, just do what you do. And, you know, and I was probably fortunate a little bit. You know, we had two veteran linebackers. One of them retired a lot, or not. Roy Winston retired the year before I got drafted. There was another veteran linebacker in front of me. He got cut about 3 or 4 weeks into the preseason. You know, so I mean, I was, now whether it was because what I was doing or because what he was doing wasn't good enough, but you know, I got the chance, I had the opening, and you know, and kind of ran with it. But especially today with the practice squads and 32 teams, and there's a lot of jobs available, and a lot of times these kids just have to be in the right place at the right time. And look at Adam Thielen. I mean, he's a perfect example of a kid that got overlooked. He went through the ranks. He worked his tail off, and look at where he is today. So
it's interesting because you were here when the Vikings moved into Winter Park. You're here when we're preparing for our new home. What comes to your mind when you think of this building and the memories you've made here?
This place has been around for a while. Was it 36 years? You know, it was probably a state of the art building at the time. And it was really the only facility that we had up, you know, because I mean we were gypsies up until we built this place. And you know, so back then it was, you know, I mean it was pretty nice digs. You know, I mean, we finally had our own practice fields, we finally had our own weight room, we finally had our own bubble outside, we finally had, you know, football offices and business offices, and you know, so I mean, and they've done a great job holding this place together for the last 35 years, but you know, it's starting to show its wear and tear a little bit, and it's you know, I've loved it because I live 5 minutes away or 10 minutes away, and I'm not really looking forward to that commute every day. But you know, and I have not been to the new facility, but you know, from everything I've seen, it looks unbelievably state of the art, a beautiful complex, and you know, they've held this place together, and it's got a lot of good memories in it, but. Yeah. Maybe it's time to go.
You knocked on wood during the conversation, and I was just wondering, is this desk original to Winter Park? I mean, do you know?
You know, I think it is. Yeah. And I inherited this desk from, this was Jerry Reichow's desk.
Wow.
How about that?
When he was still working here in the building, and when I came on here full time and, June of 91, Jerry left, and he left me with this desk and his plant.
Okay.
And he had some kind of plant in this. I can't remember what kind of plant it was, but you didn't have to water it. So, I mean, I had it in here forever, for a long, long time. And it wasn't actually this office because, you know, they condensed all these offices when they added on the kitchen and the indoor and the So I got his desk and his chair and his plant, and he said, "Here you go, boy." I'm at it.
What kind of plant doesn't need to be watered?
I don't know. It was some kind of big fern or something.
I would call them cactus, right?
Maybe that's what it was. I don't remember. But
those are the little ones.
I mean, he had to water it every once in a while, but it didn't take a lot of maintenance. So. Okay.
Well, that's quite a bit of work that's been accomplished on this desk over the years. And
yeah, it really has. I mean, this desk probably weighs about 800 pounds. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's I don't know. It's a great desk, but yeah, there's a lot of history here.
Okay, so that's the halfway point of our conversation with Scott Studwell. Lots of good stuff coming up in next week's episode of Skull Stories with Scott. Craig, you're still here with us. What are we going to hear from Scott next week that you found interesting as we focus on him transitioning into the front office for the Vikings?
Well, you'll get to hear tale of his first ever time on the road.
Yep.
Out west, he says. Mm-hmm. Not really far west, but it was a journey for sure.
Yes. And we joke around with him saying if he could make it through that scouting trip, the Vikings knew that he would be able to cut it as a scout in the NFL. So joking around with him about that. Also some really nice things that he has to say about head coach Mike Zimmer, about some former Vikings, many of whom are fan favorites. So really a fun conversation coming up next week with Scott Studwell as well. It's a big matchup between a couple of heavy hitters in the NFC. And the game is Sunday at noon. You will hear it right here on the Vikings Radio Network and KFAN. Paul Allen will have the call with Pete Bursich in the booth, Greg Coleman, and Ben Lieber on the sidelines. Mike Musman will have the pregame show that will begin at 10 a.m. Central Time. On behalf of Scott Studwell, also Craig Peters, and Skull Stories producer Nate Vaughn, I'm your host Mike Wabshaw, signing off for now. Thanks for listening. Have a good evening.